we will go over to the book of Colossians now. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we will be in verses 6 through 12 tonight in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning there at verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now here we see the apostle here continuing. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus. And so he is talking about what he has talked about already, in how that Christ is glorious and great and wonderful, the creator of all things, the maker of all. And he says that we are to continue to live our lives in the Lord Jesus. And that's the import of verse 6. So walk in him. The idea is that we are to continue the lives that we have begun. We have begun as Christians. We have begun to serve the Lord. We have begun to go forward for Christ. We have started off on the course of following the Lord Jesus. And what is it that we are to do? We are to continue to live our lives in Jesus Christ. And that is a great challenge from time to time, to continue. It's easy to start, it's hard to finish. It's easy to get going, it's hard to complete the task. Sometimes you see, you know, an athletic competition and you see one team kind of, you know, dwindling down. You know, they're getting weaker and weaker and tighter and, you know, they just sort of are falling apart as they just don't have the stamina and the energy to really go on and finish out strong. And so we are to continue. We are to keep going for the Lord. We are to live our lives in Jesus. Now, how do we do that? How do we continue to live our lives in Jesus? He tells us here, we are to do it just as we have received Christ Jesus. He says, as we have received Christ Jesus, our Lord. We received Jesus as our Lord. We received him as our King. We received him as the authority. We received him as our Savior, the one who has the right to tell us how to live and how to act. And since we have so received Christ in that way, we are to continue our lives in that vein. He is to continue to be the one who directs and guides our lives. We cannot come to the place of saying, well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but I think I'll just, you know, go over here and do this. And that is sometimes what Christians will do. They will start out with the Lord and they'll start going right and serving the Lord. But then they'll say, well, you know, I think I'll just sort of go this direction. I think I'll go over here. I realize that what the Bible says, but I'm going to go over this direction. I know the Bible talks about this, but I'm going to go over this direction. They just don't want to follow on with what Christ says. They don't want to continue to take Christ just as they received him. We took him as Lord. We need to keep obeying him because he is the Lord. And so how is it that we are to continue to live in the Lord Jesus? We are to continue to live just as we received him. But he goes on and adds in verse 7, rooted and built up in him. That is how we continue. We continue by being rooted and built up in him. The idea here of a plant, that we are, you know, connected in the ground, that we are stuck into Christ, and that he is nourishing us up, you know, from the ground. The plants get the nourishment, they get their food, they get their water, and so they would, the ancients would think of the ground as being, you know, the source of the food and whatnot from the plant. Now I realize that You know, the plants photosynthesize and get their energy from that. But nonetheless, the ancient world believed that they got it up through the soil and it came up through that. And so they would talk about it being rooted in that, being that you are drawing your strength from that. That is the basis. That is what you are founded upon. You are stuck down in it. You are tied into Him. You are connected into Him. And there needs to be in our lives that connectedness to Christ, to being connected to Him. And we can usually trace a problem in our lives, a sin in our hearts, a movement away from Christ to a lack of effort at being connected to Him, of being built up by Him. We have to put forth that effort of being rooted and built up in Him, of strengthened in Him, of being connected to Christ. And so He tells us here that we are to continue in the Lord Jesus Christ. How? Just as we received Him. How? Rooted and built up in Him. And then He says, strengthened in your faith as you were taught. In other words, we are established in the faith as we have been taught. We are strengthened in that faith. Our faith needs to grow. We need to learn to increase in faith. You see the Lord Jesus doing that through His ministry with the disciples. He brought them through various miracles, and in those miracles, He is strengthening their faith. He is trying to encourage them in their faith, helping them to understand that they can depend upon Him, that they can rely upon Him, that what He tells them to do, He gives them the ability to do, even when it is something strange like feeding 5,000 people with five loaves, two fishes. I'm getting all confused. And in the 4,000, it was 7 loaves and a few fishes. And so there, you know, you don't seem any way possible that this could happen. And yet, if we follow the Lord, we follow His commands, we can do this. If the Lord says to somebody, rise up and walk, and the man hasn't walked in 30 years, up he comes. If the man is dead, and the Lord says, rise up, he comes back to life. If the Lord says, get out of the boat and walk on the water, we get out of the boat and we walk on the water. If the Lord says, throw in your, we need to pay our taxes, go throw a hook into the water and you'll catch a fish and take the coin out of his mouth and go pay our taxes. You know, I mean, it's a miracle. God does these things. And He increased the faith of these disciples. They had to be strengthened in faith as they were taught. They were taught to believe in the Lord Jesus, and they need to continue in that. We have been taught to believe in the Lord Jesus. We need to continue to rely upon Him and be strengthened in our faith. The Lord will meet our needs. And so we are to continue to live our lives in Christ, just as we have received Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in our faith as we have been taught. And then He says, overflowing in thanksgiving, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We are to be an overflowing with thanksgiving. We are to be a people who are full of thanksgiving, that give thanks to the Lord. You know, it's easy to count your many troubles. We're much better at when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when we are discouraged, feeling all is lost. Count our many troubles, name them one by one, and it will surprise you all the trouble that you've got. Yeah, that seems to be the way we're good at. It's hard, though, to count the blessings, isn't it? It's harder to give thanks. It's harder to say, thank you, Lord. We know that you're doing the right thing. You know, we have a vision. We have an aim. We have a goal. We have a something that we see, and we have a plan for our lives. And, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this other thing. And oftentimes the Lord moves us away from those plans. He moves us away from those directions. He moves us away from what we thought was going to happen. And we can't understand that, and we get all upset, and we don't have, you know, and there's sometimes bitterness in the heart. I read a story in a magazine about a lady, and she had just gotten married, and her husband had rented a room in this house, and this older lady that was owning the house was complaining to her about her husband, how they'd been married a whole month, and he had, you know, gotten sick, and he has been sick ever since, and she's had to care for him, and it's just horrible, you know. And the lady thought to herself, you know, how terrible. It's been 30 years, and, you know, this woman hasn't got over it, you know, getting over her bitterness. And then she goes on to tell about how that, you know, she had this wonderful plan of how she was going to serve the Lord and all the things she and her husband were going to do. And then he got sick, and they didn't go that direction. And she had to go through the process of, you know, coming to accept that and understand that, you know, sometimes God moves us in different directions. God moves us in a different way. God moves us in a different course. And we have to sometimes accept that course that the Lord has made. And so we have to be overflowing with thanksgiving. We don't understand why God does what he does, but we are thankful for what God does. And then, as we continue to live our lives in the Lord Jesus, just as we received him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith, and overflowing with thankfulness, he says in verse 8 that we are to beware, because there is somebody out there trying to spoil us. There is someone out there who is trying to ruin us, someone who is trying to deceive us. There are those that are trying to hurt us. And so we are to live here, and I'll put it this way, unshackled to the hollow, deceptive philosophies. See, folks will sometimes become shackled to these philosophies, and they believe that these philosophies are what will take them on and to greater heights and glory with the Lord. And this was what the Colossians were dealing with. They were thinking that there was this mystery religion, and this was being propagated to them, and they were thinking that if we could just go and learn about these mysterious, deep things of God that nobody else knows about, you know, the secret stuff, well, then we can go on to a higher plane and have greater existence. And Paul says, no, beware lest anyone spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. These things are after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world. They are not after Christ. And so he tells us that sometimes Christians can be shackled by these vain philosophies. Christians will get all tied up in legality. Oh, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't go here, and you can't go there, and you can't be this. You've got to do this, and do this, and do this. And they get all tied up in those things, and then they're not serving the Lord. They're full of bitterness and anger and hatred and all those kinds of things. You know, but you don't have any love one for another. You're not out serving the Lord as you ought to be. And so they have neglected these things. Sometimes Christians get all caught up on some skew of a doctrine. You know, they're just all crazy about some thing, you know, in and of itself might be okay. You know, but there's to be a balance. You know, the whole Bible doesn't turn around, you know, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. It doesn't really much matter. Yet Christians will get so skewed on some silly little issue, you know, that they can't see anything else. And they are caught up in the traditions of men. I think that that's part of what's going on with this whole King James stuff. You know, it is just foolishness. It is just foolishness. It is just being caught up in vain philosophies after the rudiments of men. Now, you know, we stand and, you know, the people that are conservative, that love the Bible, that stand for the Word of God, want the Word of God. You know, the guys who are standing for the King James and the King James only, they want the Word of God. Well, I don't have any problems with that. I want the Word of God. They want the Word of God. I get along with them just fine. But when they start telling me that, you know, if you look at anything else, if you follow what the King James translator said, if you do what the guys said in the 1611 preface, which I've read, albeit it was tough to read, all those herbivores, but anyway, they said that there will be other translations. They said that there's places our translation needs improvement. They said it needs to be worked out. They encouraged others to do the work. Yet somehow they who were the great scholars who were inspired by God were uninspired when they said, make it better. See, you know, I understand the thinking. I understand the mentality. I understand where it comes from, how that folks are fearful because, well, you know, you have this doctor so-and-so, and he says this out of the Greek, and you know, and I don't know how to argue with it. And so, you know, look, you can trust the Word of God. The overall doctrines, and, you know, there may be a spot where you can point out, well, really, that word, you know, doesn't really mean what you think it does there. Okay. But you know, our doctrines don't depend upon one word here or there. Our doctrines are based upon hundreds of verses found all over Scripture, the vast array of Scripture. See? And when you get to these little tiny things, you know, oh, it's mentioned one time, one place, you know, it mentions this. You know, Enoch walked with God. Well, he's mentioned one twice in Scripture. It's not a big deal. You know, if you think it means he died when he was 365, or if you think he was translated, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. It's mentioned twice. If you think the sons of God were angels, okay, great. They're there once in Scripture. I'm not going to argue with you. You know, I'm just not going to argue about those things. It doesn't matter. We get all caught up in these vain traditions and these foolishnesses and following after these things. That's not the main doctrines. Christ, Him crucified. I have determined to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. That's what the apostles taught. They went out and preached the gospel. They weren't arguing about the genealogies back in Leviticus or back there in, you know, First Chronicles. Who cares about the somebody cares about them. It's in the Word of God, but it's not the main focus. It's not the most important thing. And so we get caught up in these things. These things are dependent upon human tradition. They're dependent upon the elemental spiritual forces. They're dependent upon the forces of this world, the devil and Satan. Those are the things that they are dependent upon. Yet they are not, it says, dependent upon Christ. They don't depend on Him. And that's what we need to depend upon. We need to be connected to Christ. And so he tells us how we are to continue to our lives. Just as we have received Christ, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith, overflowing with thankfulness, unshackled by these deceptive philosophies. But then he goes in verses 9 to 11 to discuss why. Why do we continue our lives in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because in Christ, the fullness of God lives in bodily form. He says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, in Christ, we have in bodily form all of God. Now, the Gnostics, which are the ones here that they are dealing with, they didn't believe that. These people believe that, you know, either Christ was fully man but not really God, or he was, you know, just an angel, or he was something less than God, or, you know, he was God, but he really didn't have a body. He just, and there's all kinds of, you know, variations of their views. But what they don't believe is what the Scripture says. Jesus had a body. Now, you know, when Thomas saw him after the resurrection, he said, unless I can stick my hands in his nail prints, unless I can stick my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it's Jesus. So the Lord said, okay, Thomas, here's my hand, here's my side, stick it in. See, Jesus had a body. When Jesus came up out of that grave, Mary is clinging to him. She won't let go. You ever tried to hold a ghost? Kind of hard to do. You know, it's not so hard to hold on to a person. And so she was holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, the fullness of God lives in bodily form. He was a man. He took unto him human flesh, and yet all of God was in him. Now you might say, well, how can all of God be in Christ? Because Christ is here and God is everywhere. I haven't the foggiest idea how it works. I just know that's what the Bible says. And I don't worry about how all that works. That doesn't matter. I just believe what the Bible says. You see, there are some things that I don't think, can understand. How God can be everywhere present. How he can know all things. I don't understand all those things, but I know he does. See, if I go to heaven, he is there. If I go to hell, he is there. If I go in the depths of the sea, he is there. Doesn't matter where I go, he is there. God is everywhere. He is all present. And yet he was with his disciples. And so I may not be able to explain it, but I know it is true. For in Christ, the fullness of God lives in bodily form. Secondly, he says, here is why we are to continue our live our lives in Christ. Not only because in Christ there is God in flesh. If we are to know God, if we want to know Him, know Christ. See, that's the advantage. In Christ we have been brought to fullness. In verse 10a, he says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of God. The idea, I think, of this verse here, and I'll take a little variance with the translation in this, is that it is in us it all dwells. That the fullness in us dwells. Not merely is Paul repeating himself, saying this again, and ye are complete in Him, he says. Yes, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the body, and we are complete in Him. He's not just repeating himself. He is saying that in us now we have all the fullness. When Christ dwells in us, we have all of God in us. So if you've already got all of God, why would you go after something that is less? If you already have the fullness of God in you, why would you go over here to some secret thing which Han promises that you could eventually rise up to something you already got? It makes no sense. This is his argument. We have already been brought to fullness. There is not some new secret thing. No, we are looking for the return of Jesus. We are looking for the return of Christ. And then he goes on and adds at the end of verse 10, He is the head of all principality and power. He is the head. Notice that it is Christ who is the authority. There's not another authority. There's not another one you can go to. There's not some other angel that will bring you up, or some other being that will lift you up, or some other religion that will help. It is Christ who is the head of all power and authority. He rules over all. So why should we continue to live in Christ? Because He is the Lord of everything. How foolish we would be to leave the Lord of everything to go and serve He who is not Lord of anything. And then he says, in Christ our sinful flesh is removed. This is what he talks about there in verse 11 in the first part of verse 12, where he talks about the circumcision made without hands, the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. See, he's talking about the fact that through Christ, the sins that we have in ourselves are removed. They are taken away. They are rolled away from us. We no longer have those sins upon us. They have been taken away. They are removed. He gives another illustration. He says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein we are risen with Him. See, we are buried with Christ. We died to Christ, to sin. We died with Christ. If we're dead, we don't have any sin. Dead people don't do anything wrong. This is the point. We are sinless because we are in Christ. And so he is talking here about our relationship in Christ. In Christ, our sinful flesh is removed. Now, I realize we don't quite have that yet. We are still looking for the day when Christ is going to come and that resurrection body shall be ours. Right now, we are in the burial part. Right now, we are in the grave. Right now, we are still with that corruptible. But that corruptible is going to put on incorruption. And that mortal is going to put on immortality. And we shall be changed. And so we look for that day when we shall be changed. In Christ, our sinful flesh is removed. So why should we continue to live our lives in Christ? Because it is through Him that sin is removed from our lives. It's through Him that we are under the authority of the supreme ruler of all the earth. It is through Christ that we have been brought to the fullness of God. It is in Christ that God Himself dwells in fullness. So that is why we should be under Christ. But lastly, he says, because in Christ we have been raised from the dead. He says there in the end of verse 12, he says, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. See, Christ was raised from the dead. It was done by God. And it was through faith that we have that same operation promised to us, that we too shall be risen, that we too shall be changed, that we shall be raised unto newness of life. And so in Christ, we are going to be raised incorruptible. We are going to be raised to new life. Yes, all these things that we've been telling you about, all these wonderful blessings and this fullness of God, we're going to know. We are going to look at God face to face, and with our mouth we shall praise Him. With our lips we shall sing His glory. With our ears we shall hear His voice. We shall see God. We shall know Him. What a blessing it is. These are the promises. And so Paul says, why would you leave all of this to follow after these vain philosophies? To follow after something that is less. To follow after something that is promising you someday, if you can work hard enough, that maybe you can attain unto it. No. You see, in Christ, we have all these things. We have everything. And so we are to continue to live our lives in Jesus. We are not to give up. We are not to quit. We are not to turn away. We are to continue to serve Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Father,